Amen. I want to once again thank everyone for everything that you did for conference and making that to happen. The last week, we did meet our budget. We had an abundance of desserts and foods, and thank you for all the help and everything that transpired. You know, I was thinking the other day that, you know, we sometimes think, okay, when we do sing things like that, we know we might have had about 200 people in that week, you know, that come in. We had, last check on one of the things, we had over 1,300 people who had viewed it online. But I was thinking even above beyond that, and it's not about numbers and noses. It's not about that. But for every pastor that sat in this house that has a congregation of anywhere from 20 to 20,000, you allow them to be sowed into. And when I think about the multiplication of that and how God brings increase of that, and that is to your favor and that is to your blessing. And I pray God gives back to you abundantly for your heart to serve and your heart to give. So when we think that we might have touched 200 people, you touched probably 20, 30,000 people from this hill in those days. And so I just want you to know how important it is. And as a pastor, I want you to know how important it is to have a place that you can come, that you can receive refreshment, renewal, to get away for a little bit, to hear the word, to be able to take something back home with you and begin to have an excitement to share with your people. The value of that is precious. So once again, I thank you for that. I'm not preaching this morning. You are in for a treat. This lady that's coming to share with you, I don't know that has done this before in the pulpit. It's been a long time ago. But she has probably preached as many, if not more, sermons than I have. And she's preached them from her couch, from her car, from her cell phone, from her kitchen, from her and from her heart. She loves big. She serves big. She has been a mother to many in this house. And so I'm excited this morning to hear from Miss Sherry, who's going to come and share the word with you today.
I appreciated her faith in me, but this is not my forte here. But so I'm just gonna have to speak to you what the Lord has done for me in the last year, and that'll be hopefully. But I'm gonna have to have my glasses because I can't see this at all. A pair on there. I got a pair. It's one of those things that happens with age that you try to deny, but eventually you get to where you just. So we're going to go to the book of Ezekiel 37, and we're going to talk about the Valley of Dry Bones. For those of you that don't know, probably most everybody does know, I deal with depression and anxiety. And if you don't deal with it, you're blessed. And I take my... I've always took my family as my number one priority and my number one responsibility. To see that they're happy, healthy, strong. And sometimes I tend to overdo that. I overstretch and take on more responsibility than I should. But I love them. I love the ones that I birthed, the ones that God gave me, and the grandchildren that came from those unions. And I refuse to lose any. And so I had been praying for my family. The last couple of years have been lots of things. All three of my girls have health issues, that autoimmune disorders and things that they struggle with. And my men have things that they struggle with also. And so there's lots of things that we pray for and we struggle with. And again, I tend to take those too much to heart instead of trusting the Lord to do it. And last November, the women's conference, I just had to say, Lord, enough's enough, okay? Because if you know me, I've always joked that it's not Murphy's Law that says whatever can go wrong will, that man's name was Murray, because that's our forte. That's what happens to us. I go into conference, I'm getting shingles, you know, and every year it's something like that. There's something that happens that is just right when I need to be at my most productive. And so I just said, you know, God, it's enough. I refuse to have one lost. I refuse to have one succumb to illness, mental disease, injury, whatever that may be. And I'm going to have to just learn how to stand on that and not be afraid. And then we were in spring, we went to Tennessee, the conference in Tennessee, and we were singing Dry Bones. And the Lord spoke to me that valley of dry bones, and he said, prophesy to these bones that they'll live. See, this was a vision Ezekiel had. It wasn't a literal valley. He was talking about the children of Israel. And so they were going through all the same things. I mean, we all struggle. If you look around the room, I doubt there's any one person in here that says, oh, I don't struggle with anything. I'm good. I don't have any anxiety. I don't have any sickness. I don't have any strife in relationships. Nobody can say that. We all struggle, and it behooves us to be aware of our neighbors and the fact that they're struggling too, because we can get so caught up in our own struggle that we forget to pray for those around us. And so I'm going to read this Ezekiel chapter 37. I'm probably going to read about 15 scriptures, and then we're going to talk a little bit more. And he said, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones. And he caused me to pass round about them, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and they were very dry. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. I will lay sinew upon you and bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together bone to bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. At this point, they looked like everybody else, but there was no breath in them. And if you read the same scripture in the Amplified, it says breath and spirit. There was no spirit in them. And so how often do we go about our day feeling like there's nothing left? Like, I don't know about you, but I've been many times to a place where I feel like, God, I've given everything I have to give. There's nothing left in me. Nothing left in me. And you just need a fresh breath, that's fresh spirit of the Lord to breathe upon you. And restoration comes. You don't think it's going to sometimes, and sometimes it takes longer than others. This was a process. This didn't happen. He didn't say bones live and they jumped up. He prophesied to the bones to live, and bones started to come together. There was a rattling in the spirit. There was a rattling could be heard in the heavens. And sometimes in the middle of the rattling, in the middle of the chaos, we don't realize that he's pulling bone to bone, that he's pulling sinew to sinew. And you know, sometimes even in our marital relationships and things like that, we tend to live as separate people. But when he said when we became married, we were flesh of one flesh and bone of his bone. And so sometimes the rattling and the noises that are happening are just the bones being knit together. It's the sinew coming on top of that. And then there's the moment where you have to step back and take a deep breath and realize that the breath of God is now there. And he's going to give you that strength. And he says, so I prophesied and I commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And when I beheld, lo, sinew and flesh came upon them, and skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, breathe upon these slain, that they may live. And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost, and we are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy unto them again. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, that I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. And I shall put my spirit in you, ye shall live. I shall place you in your own land, and ye shall know that I am the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. And so we just sometimes need to... When we feel out of breath, when we feel out of joint, just remember to prophesy into those bones. And that's what I began to do, both in family and in everything I do. I began to do that. I began to the things that I knew needed healed, I began to speak in the Spirit, Lord, I declare health, I declare strength, I declare clarity of mind, I declare clarity of soul, I declare the Spirit of God to rise up, those things that you've installed and that you've put into my children and my children's children and my, as I said, my whole extended family. I just believe that you're going to stir up those things, that those giftings and those callings you said are without repentance, and that you would have a day that those things would come forth, and I believe that. And but it doesn't always happen immediately. I was talking with Chuck in the kitchen down there the other day and was talking to him about his eyes, and he said, you know, the Lord showed him also that sometimes these things take time. That just because it doesn't happen the moment you walk out the doctor's office doesn't mean that God's not still in control. And I thought that was a powerful word. That's faith put into action. And, you know, I know that sometimes we pray for things and they don't always happen. You know, I prayed for Mona every time I was there. And the Lord spoke some things to me that I spoke into her. But it didn't happen the way I expected. But that doesn't mean that God's not still in control and in the midst of it. And that those things that she installed, they'll continue for generations to generations. And the Lord gave me prophecy one time right in the middle of our living room. We were talking and praying, and he spoke to me and said to tell her that because of her faithfulness, that God was going to raise up her generations to come, that they would rise and call her blessed. Yeah. And that's her, that's the anointing of God that carries from generation to generation. Yeah. You know, our generations, and we've talked before about the Hiles family, didn't always start out as, we were fairly well known, but not for good things in the community. My daddy always said he grew up on Rotten Row. And he always told me, you know, and I'd pray for somebody or pray for something, and I'd say, well, I just don't know, Dad. And he'd say, Sherry, if God could take me out of Rotten Row and bring me to him, he can save anybody. And I always thought that was pretty profound, because when he made that decision, it changed us for the generations to come. What we do today is not because one day we just decided we wanted to do something. It's because of the dedication of parents that... when they served the Lord, they did it with all their heart. As hard as Dad worked and lived in the world, he worked that hard and lived in the church. And he was not one to have one lost either. He believed in it. And so he instilled that into us. And because he instilled that into us, I want that to be my legacy. That's what I want to instill in my generations. I want them to be people that... are caring and look out to others and take care of others when there's a need to reach out and fulfill those needs. That's what I want. And I want that to be because of the hand of the Lord and the breath of God, the Spirit of God that's indwelling in them. Not just because they're good people. Nothing wrong with being good people. God's got a lot of good people. But I want it to be out of a calling that's on their lives. And I believe that they all have a calling on their life. And callings are not always up front. I've never thought that I was called to be the preacher. I'm called to love people. That's my calling. That's what I do. I don't know how to do anything else. Doesn't mean I don't ever get tired or frustrated or even just want a day to myself. Because you do. You get weary. But all it takes is just that breath of fresh air that he gives us, and you're ready to start again. And so don't be afraid of your callings, and don't be afraid of circumstances in your life when things don't look like they're going the right way. Prophesy to those things. When Becca called the other morning and said that Bonnie, that's her sister-in-law, was in an accident, said she was 45 minutes late getting home from work, and they didn't know what happened. They didn't know where she was at. And so I just began to say, Lord, I'm just going to prophesy to these bones that they'll live, whatever situation, whatever circumstance. We prophesied in that. And we went and saw her Wednesday in the hospital, and they had been telling her bones was, you know, all these bones that were broken. And I prayed for her. I said, Bonnie, I came to pray for you. And I prayed for her, and I just began to speak, Lord, put bone to bone and sinew to sinew. These things in her body can be healed just as well today as they were in the Valley of Dry Bones. And Lord, we prophesy to this vessel, Lord, to just fill this vessel with your anointing and with your virtue. Because he said wherever his virtue flows, it brings life. Yeah. And so she's coming home this week. So, you know, it's really amazing what God has done, because the doctors told her that it was miraculous. She was a breath away from death. But God intervened. And I have to trust in that. And that, you know, sometimes we say, oh, you know, she was lucky. She wasn't lucky. God had his hand on her. Yeah. And if God had his hand on her, then there's a plan for her too. And there's a purpose for her too. And I believe that there's a purpose for each and every one of us. You know, we don't always just reach people. It doesn't have to be, as I said, from the pulpit. As Lisa said, it can be from your couch. It can be from Coke at McDonald's. It can be playing a game or just hanging out. I mean, it doesn't have to be, you don't even have to be realizing that you're ministering. Because if you have the giftings and the workings of the Lord in your life, those things will come forth on their own. Yeah. When you speak, they'll speak. God will speak, and you just have to fill up with those things. And I have to admit, I'm a little bit rusty on reading here lately because because it's a weak point for me to sit down and just read. I get I'm a little bit too ADD, and so then I get distracted. So I've been reading the last couple of days and been looking and. I told Jim this morning, who knew Ezekiel's on TikTok? So while I was getting ready for work, I just typed in the Valley of Dry Bones, and I just listened to some other folks say what they were hearing about the Valley of Dry Bones. And he laughed at me because only I would look on TikTok for Ezekiel. So, but he's out there. Wherever you look, he's out there. We look for things. Right, breathing old bones. So you can look at TikTok and look for recipes or dances or all kinds of stuff that you shouldn't be looking at. Or you can listen to TikTok and hear the Valley of Dry Bones while you're curling your hair in the morning. So breathe, O breath of the Lord. And so that's really all I have to say this morning. I'm not, you're lucky I'm not long-winded at all. We might even get out before Jack does this morning. Yeah, and why I was doing this, you know, I looked back through some of the other scriptures, tried to pull more content in, thinking, you know, well, works with that, and this works with that, and some of it does. But this really is just the Lord has daily been speaking this to me. Every day I hear, prophesy unto those bones, because they're going to live again. And that's what I'm doing. I'm just prophesying. Amen. And if I save my family, my family saves their family. Before you know it, the whole world is saved. Yeah. Yeah. And so be conscientious of your families and what you're putting into them, what you're teaching them, because it's so important. And that doesn't mean we don't ever do anything else. I know, I'm ornery, so people just laugh at me and shake their head, But I also love Jesus with all my heart. And so just remember that he breathed the breath of life in you, just like he did Adam, clear back in the beginning, that when he put bone to bone and sinew to sinew in the garden and told man to rise, to take dominion, and to rule the earth, that same mandate is still in your lives today. So remember, when you breathe and you breathe in, I do a thing with Jim when he gets frustrated. I say, three deep breaths, and he just rolls his eyes. But three deep breaths will do a lot to calm you down. You breathe in with your nose and out with your mouth. And so I'll do that with him. But when you do that, remember, you're breathing in the breath of life. And that's a powerful thing. So.
But you know, really, I was thinking while you were saying that about watching that series called The Chosen. Jesus does as much by the campfire while he's on his way to do something else,
right?
As he does any other time. I think sometimes we're not aware that ministry is flowing because it's not what we do; it's who we are.
Right.
We're image bearers. We carry his image.
Right. Right, exactly. Amen.
I walked up out of that class, you know. But I said, here's the thing. The Bible said you sow the seed of the kingdom. He said, the kingdom of God is like a man. This is what I said to him. But I think it's important because it goes right on with what you said. He said, the kingdom of God is like a man who sowed seed in the field. The kingdom of God is like a man who sowed good seed in a field and then went to bed. So I quoted that to him. That's really, and so he says to me, well, what does that mean? I said, that means the power's in the seed. It's not up to you. Yeah. When you cast your care on him, it's up to God to keep it together. Except the Lord built the house, we labor in vain to build it. Our job is plant the seed of the kingdom. It's incorruptible, and then go to bed. That means rest in the power of the seed, because the seed, it's not up to you to do it. And I think even when we think about the gifts of the Spirit, even the miraculous, what's really a real release to me is it's not my, and I'm not responsible to heal them. He's responsible to heal them. I'm responsible to lay hands on the sick. I'm responsible to do whatever he told me to do. But it's his responsibility to heal. So if it works, I can't take the credit for it. If it fails, I don't have to take the blame either. So the best thing, when you start to cast your care on him, in other words, it's not my blame and it's not my credit. Mm-hmm. It's him that does it. And that's our confidence then is really in him. Mm-hmm. But that really speaks to me this morning, what you shared, because really I think sometimes we curse the darkness or we prophesy doom and despair on things when things are, like we look at things. As you look at the church world, instead of, you know, speaking some positive things, they're always crying the sky is falling. And, you know, what all is bad, and, you know, we prophesy doom and despair and everything else. But he said, prophesy to the wind. Speak to the bones. You know, you have power of life and death is in the tongue, and we frame the worlds by what we say. And so when we start to declare something, you know, a lot of prophecies are self-fulfilling. And it's like everybody's like, well, see, I told you so. See, I told you so. Well, how about let's tell them something else. Let's prophesy to the wind. Let's prophesy to the bones. Let's speak over that there's life coming. And I really think we are, even as this conference was called Emerge, I really believe we are coming up out of some stuff. And we're heading into a new day.
Amen. I do too. And what I liked about that scripture in the beginning there is when Ezekiel is seeing all these things, and God says to him, Ezekiel, can these bones live? And he said, well, you know, like you could, maybe you can do that. But God didn't say, watch this. And he speak to the bones. He said, Ezekiel, speak to these bones. You got the power in you to speak to these bones. You got the power to speak life into your circumstances and your situation. Begin to speak to those things. And that's what we need to do in our homes, is begin to speak life into our neighbors and to our friends and whatever the situation is. We're going to speak life because life is in the tongue. He said, when he called the breath, he called it from the four corners of the world. So it's not just here, it's all over. So.
There's a thing called co-regulation, right? And so those bones, they came together, but they couldn't get any breath until Ezekiel released his breath, right? Because when we speak, we have to release our own breath. And so the life that was in Ezekiel is what brought the life to the bones. And when we're in the middle of situations, the whatever I'm doing is either going to amplify what you're doing or to calm what you're doing. And so sometimes too, it's not about what we say or what we do. It's about the life that's in us that brings out the life that's in somebody else. It's that co-regulation of, I'm gonna speak breath and life into you, and through that, you're gonna breathe, and that's gonna come back to me. And then we're both going to be alive. And so sometimes when we're in our darkest moments, and when we're in our scariest moments and we're focusing on what we see instead of what we have, it's the co-regulation of, I can speak and I can breathe, and in that, then you live and then I live more abundantly.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I guess. I don't need that.
They can hear your live stream, she said.
All right, I'm not saying
that. Just talk to me.
Because, well, that's it. I am talking to you, because you and I are very, very not serious with each other when we talk normally. We're not. We're just cutting up, carrying on. But when I leave here on Sundays, we give each other a hug and say we love each other. That I know is sincere, right? I mean, we can cut up and carry on and never have a serious moment, but that's serious. And I have seen, you know, you work with me, what happened last week, you feeling bad, you're always giving love to other people. I got it. And I know that's what you do, and I know that's what God has for you, but you got to love yourself too. And you know that everybody you're giving love to loves you, but just love yourself as well. Okay?
I should give the mic to Bob now, because he can bring it back down. Just teasing Bob.
Those of you that saw the movie Breakthrough, and if you remember, her child got into the cold, icy water, and he was in the hospital, and he was going to die. And she was a pastor. But the doctors are all saying negative things, you know, just prepare yourself, you know, there's nothing more we can do, and that's all that was in that room, that's all that was heard. And remember, she screams out, and because she was praying for him, and she said, can anyone speak life over my child? Mm-hmm. You remember that? And then when people began to do that, and he did come back to life. And that was a true story made into a movie. And he came back to life because of speaking life into the child.
It was a God.
God speaking life into the child.
Praise the Lord. We're still really early. it's not. It's not. I agree. You sure can. Yeah.
When you all were talking about the conference, that just really in my heart, I just didn't have any want to go to it. But whenever y'all said about the food, I'm like, oh, I can make my fudge, my cakes, whatever. I'll do that. And then I went to my bakery to talk to them, and they're like, about a raisin pie for Dan, because I wasn't going to make no raisin pie. And they're like, well, we can give you all some stuff, some whatever our leftover stuff is. I'm like, okay. So I went back, and then God's like, why are you going to go up there, drop that food off, and not stay for the service? I said, well, I'll stay. But I had to get arrangements for my dog because I can't leave him home all day. So I came, and that night when they were taking offering, I didn't have, at my job, we're like totally changing our salary, our days that we get paid. So I'm going to have like a week where I'm not paid. So I'm like, I didn't really have the extra money to give, but I still gave. And when V and I, we had to go get stuff out of a storage, I like went through my storage stuff, went through a purse, and I found more money than I gave. And I just sat there and cried and praised God and said, thank you for me being, you know, good to you and for you guys that you came back for me. And then also that night, I've been dealing with a lot of stuff with my job and my new position, and I just finally had a breakthrough. Like, the next morning, my attitude has been so much better. That Thursday, I just had all that negativity gone from me. So, thank you guys. Amen.
All right. Well, I'm going to turn it back over to the pastor.
Thank you for listening.
Amen. And it's not about how long you speak. That's all right. It's about what's in your heart, what the Lord lays on your heart. And the Lord spoke to me back a couple months ago about using what was in my hand and empowering our people. And so you've been seeing some faces come up here because I want to hear what's in you. One of the greatest rewards as a pastor is to hear what you're hearing and what comes back to you. And so we have some very anointed people in this house that minister in so many different ways. So never underestimate your anointing or your ability to speak to someone. Amen? Because we all relate on different levels, and God uses each of us to say something. I love what she said that, you know, even when we're coming together as in marriage, that, you know, the scripture says that the twain two will become one, and you're bone of bone and flesh of flesh. And she said, and sometimes when that happens, there's some rattling. Did you hear that? There's some rattling sometimes that happens when you're coming together, because there's some clashing. There's some, you know, how are we going to be one in this thought and in this mindset and in this, you know. And so there's sometimes even, you know, in the body of Christ, there's some rattling and there's some, you know, there's some clashing that comes together. But if we'll trust the prophetic word and we'll trust the anointing, that God will bring those unities together, and he will connect us with the voices and you know, the power of that to connect us. And so I don't know if you heard that, but I heard that when she said that, and I thought that's a really good thought. I had not thought of that in that way. But if you can hang out with a group of people and not have some rattling, I want to talk with you after service. You all lay hands on me and pray for me, all right? But sometimes in the coming together, there is some rattling, but if we'll trust the prophetic word and trust the process. And I was thinking as she was sharing this morning about, you know, that God said to her, you know, he said to the Valley of Dry Bones, you begin to prophesy. You begin to declare the word of the Lord over this valley and watch what God will do. And my challenge to you even before conference was to make room. Make a room for the prophet. Make room for the prophetic voice in your life. And we think that the prophetic voice is one of those, oh, you know, and the heavens open and God just speaks out, or somebody walks up to you and says, thus saith the Lord, this time next year. And all of those are great. He can open the heavens and do that for me anytime. But sometimes the prophetic voice is just hearing what thus saith the Lord to you right here, right now. You just heard the prophetic voice, because a prophetic voice is a word that declares God's word over you. And sometimes the greatest thing you can do is go to the scriptures and say, what does the scripture say about despair, about anxiety, about depression? Or what does TikTok say about it? Right? Sometimes our problem is we listen more to TikTok and other voices than we do the voice of the Lord. He said, you need to begin to prophesy what the Lord says. You need to begin to speak life. What is God saying to you? And God will speak to you at your job. He will speak to you in your car. And it's not this loud, audible voice. It's the thoughts that God brings to you that's given you clarity, that's given you strength, that's given you direction. That's God speaking to you. He can do that. Like she said, over a Coke, he can do it in the kitchen. He can do it in the service. There's sometimes that the Lord, I'll hear the prophetic voice. I'll hear God say something directly to me in a worship song. And I'm like, that's for me today. I'm taking that. Lord, you're declaring that over me, and I'm standing on that word. Or it may come forth in a word. Or it may come forth in a conversation. It's like, that's what I've been looking for, Lord. That's your voice. That's your word. And he speaks to all of us. So it's not that, you know, only certain people get to hear from God. When people say, you know, I felt like God told me, it's not that loud, audible voice. It's that thought you have most of the time when you're silent enough to listen. And those thoughts start to come, and it's like, I hear you, Lord. I hear you. And when we respond and begin to say what he says, things start to come together. And life starts to happen. As she said, it doesn't always go the way that we want to. And sometimes, you know, you feel like you get the breath knocked out of you. And sometimes you just need God to do some mouth-to-mouth resuscitation and breathe, just like he did in the beginning when he began to breathe into man and he became a living soul. Amen. Awesome word. Awesome word. Stand to your feet with me. I do want to do this, and I want Sherry to come back up. And I felt like having her to do this, and I don't want to point anybody out, but if you relate, and she was sharing about things with anxiety and depression, if you've been going through discouragement, if you've had despair, if you've had hopelessness, if you're dealing with fear, I just want you to raise your hands wherever you are today. If you don't want to raise them, that's okay, but I want her to pray and prophesy over this house today that God will begin to bring clarity and peace and hope and life. Amen. Into the body of Christ. It doesn't mean you're weak. It doesn't mean, you know, that you're not born again, filled with the Spirit. It just means you need God to breathe on you today. And I want her to pray over us today before we go out of here, that God will just bring that to you in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Shiandalalabo sikandalalabo shantai. Shiandalalabo sikandalalabo shandalalabo sikandalalabo shantai. Lord, we declare strength, God. Lord, I prophesy healing of the mind, God. Lord, synapses to connect, Lord, and hormone levels to level out, God, and serotonin levels to level. Lord, we speak divine healing. Lord, let your virtue flow across this assembly, God. Lord, wherever it flows, it brings life, God. Lord, we declare in the heavens, whatever is done in the heavens be done in the earth, God. Lord, the power of the Holy Ghost, God, to just flow through here. Shiandalalabo sikandalalabo shantai. Anxiety has got to go in Jesus' name. Peace to be your portion. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Depression to release, not to return, but to release and be relieved, God. Lord, we speak to fears. God, I rebuke fear. Lord, fear is the enemy. You said you've not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. Lord, to all, Lord, to insecurities, Father. We speak to insecurities, Lord, to be secure in who we are in you. I'm a child of the King, Lord. I'm a princess, and I have a right, Lord, to life and health and strength. Shianda la la bo si kandala la bo shanta. Shianda la la bo si kandala la bo shanta. Shianda la la bo si kandala la bo shanta. Shianda la la bo si kandala la bo shanta. Lord, we speak health in this house this morning, divine healing. Lord, I prophesy to these dry bones to live. Lord, for bone to bone and sinew upon sinew. Lord, to the blood system of the body. Lord, to the airways of the body. Lord, to the mind of the body. Lord, the whole man. And Father, we breathe the breath of life. God, from the four corners of the earth, the Spirit of God to flow through this house in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.